Bom dia, bom dia, Brazil.
Welcoming you to another vibrant morning on ACAD FM, your favorite frequency for language learning insights.
Ready to illuminate your minds and make English truly sparkle? At Academia BSB, we believe learning should feel like, well, a warm hug full of discovery and genuine connection.
Yeah, exactly. So grab your coffee, maybe a cozy blanket, and let's dive deep.
Today, we're embarking on a very special deep dive. A fascinating peek behind the curtain into the learning journey of a specific group of our dedicated English students.
Mm-hmm. We're getting an exclusive look at the class notes from group T243 of our English Conversations course, specifically from July 2nd, 2025.
That's right. We'll be celebrating the progress of Anna Paula, Ashlyn, Noyane, and Vanessa. And for those of you who might be new to Academia BSB, well, we're an online English school.
Right.
We're known for our unique methodology and original material. We deliver everything digitally, making learning accessible and genuinely engaging, you know, no matter where you are.
Our mission really is to teach English remotely, transforming how you connect with the world.
Exactly. And our goal for this deep dive today is to extract the most valuable insights from this particular class.
Think of it as like a masterclass in language acquisition, distilling crucial nuggets about vocabulary, pronunciation, grammar, and practical language use that can help any language learner out there.
Mm-hmm. We'll journey through every core section of these class notes. So from essential vocabulary to crisp pronunciation.
Practical language usage, colorful expressions.
Foundational grammar, insightful reading, expressive writing, active listening, immersive watching, and finally, empowering speaking training.
Yeah, it's a comprehensive look at what makes a conversation course truly effective and honestly, how these students are just shining. Let's jump right in. #1 vocabulary current class.
Okay, let's unpack this. Vocabulary is truly the bedrock of communication.
It really is. It's not just about knowing words, right? It's about knowing how to use them to express your thoughts with precision.
Absolutely. The beauty of vocabulary lies in its nuance. So take the word sharp. Okay, it describes a physical quality, like a sharp knife that cuts efficiently.
Right.
But it also applies to a keen intellect. You might say, she has a sharp mind, meaning she's intelligent and, you know, quick-witted.
Ah, I see. Understanding those dual meanings helps you communicate with far greater precision.
It does. That's a great insight. And how about exactly? It's not just a translation. It's about conveying absolute agreement. Like, that's exactly what I meant.
It adds emphasis, leaves no room for doubt.
Yeah. And for exactly, other adverbs that convey that same kind of precision could be precisely or accurately. Just gives you more options.
Good point.
And then we have phrasal verbs like tidy up, which means to organize or clean. Please tidy up your room. Pretty common directive, right?
Definitely heard that one before.
Uh-huh. Other verbs that convey similar actions could be arrange or put things in order. It just shows how a verb combined with a preposition creates a whole new meaning.
And type, as in kind. What type of music do you like? It's about categorization.
Right. And you'll find other nouns like sort or category used similarly. This helps students broaden their descriptive range, which is great.
We also covered essential temporal markers, like after and before.
Yeah, fundamental. After work, I go home, and before work, I have coffee. You need these for sequencing events in any story you tell.
And those time anchors, tomorrow and yesterday, I will study tomorrow, or I studied yesterday. Simple, yes, but foundational for daily conversation.
Totally. And for comparisons, we had most and least. Most people like pizza, suggests the majority.
Okay.
While he likes rock music the least, pinpoints a preference at the lowest end. See? These small words create significant contrast.
That makes sense. And a word that often opens doors to personal connection. Favorite.
Oh, definitely. What is your favorite movie? It's a simple question, but it invites deeper conversation.
And finally, to pay attention.
Yes. You need to pay attention in class. It's an active phrase, reminding us that learning requires engagement. You got to be present.
Mm-hmm. And beyond individual words, the class explored concepts like to be able to, signifying ability or maybe a special skill.
Right, like in a special skill.
And then contextual vocabulary like types of movies, horror, action, romance, or music genres such as country, pop, samba, rock.
Yeah, this isn't just a list. It's about giving students the tools to describe their world, their interests, their capabilities.
Which immediately enhances their daily English conversations, makes things smoother. #2.1, pronunciation past class.
Now let's talk about something truly transformative,
mm-hmm.
Pronunciation. It's often those Subtle differences in sound that completely change meaning.
Or just make you easier to understand, which is key.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Think about the impact of just a single vowel sound. The class honed in on distinctions like fin versus fine.
Right. One's a fish's appendage, the other expresses well-being, that short I versus the long I. Huge difference.
Yeah.
Huge. Another common pair, pin versus pine. Pin, something you push into a board. Pine, the tree. It's a tiny sound shift, but creates a completely different image in your head.
Yeah, totally. And then there's chin versus chime. Your chin is part of your face,
mm-hmm.
while chime is that ringing sound. Mastering these vowel nuances is, well, foundational for clear communication.
It really is. We also tackled individual words that often trip up learners. Orchestra is a great example. That chase sound is often mispronounced.
Oh, yeah.
People often make it a chitch sound, but it's like the K sound in chemical or school.
Orchestra. Oh, orchestra. Got it. Yeah. And trumpet.
Trumpet, yeah. Where the U sound is critical. It's not true empit, but trumpet, like the word jump, short
yeah.
U.
Yeah, crumpet. Okay.
Yes, and pleasure. That soft S sound, I've been confused. It's similar to the S in measure or treasure, pleasure.
Not very. Mm-hmm.
And a revisited pair. Tidy versus tide. Tidy means neat, while tide refers to the ocean's movement. These distinctions, okay, they might seem subtle, but they dramatically improve comprehension and confidence. They help prevent those awkward, aha, moments of miscommunication.
Definitely want to avoid those. #tagtag 2.2. Pronunciation, current class.
Building on that, let's explore the current class's pronunciation focus. This isn't just about individual sounds anymore.
Right. It's about integrating them into natural phrases, which helps develop that rhythm and intonation we want.
Precisely. Practicing words within phrases is absolutely key to sounding authentic.
Hmm.
Let's demonstrate for you, our listeners.
Okay. First word, move.
We will move to a new house.
Move.
Okay. Next up, movie.
Did you watch that new movie?
Movie.
Then early.
She wakes up early every day.
Early.
And finally, year.
Happy New Year.
Year. See how practicing words and phrases helps you develop that natural flow? It's not just about forming the sound itself,
mm-hmm.
but how it connects smoothly to the words around it. Makes a big difference. #headactionfree, language usage. Now we enter the realm where grammar and vocabulary truly come alive.
Yeah.
Language usage. This section bridges theory with the reality of, you know, everyday communication.
We started with a really foundational structure. There isn't a movie theater in my city so useful for discussing the existence or lack thereof of anything in a particular place.
Absolutely. We then explored a movie synopsis, which is a fantastic way to see tenses and expressions in action. Consider the example.
The one about Carlos and Elena.
That's the one. Carlos and Elena are about to sign their divorce papers when they're given the chance to go back to 1994, the year they met. In the 90s, the two try to change their past and avoid falling for each other in the first place.
Okay, so what does that show us?
Well, it illustrates the present continuous for future events are about to sign, plus the simple past and the nuance of about to, which signals something happening very soon.
Right. Immediate future action. Got it. And moving from general usage to personal application, the students shared their plans for what will you do tomorrow?
Yes. Anna Paula's plan was quite detailed. I will take a shower and sleep. I will pay attention to my work. I will wake up early. Then I will walk my dog. Later, I will go to work. After that, I will have lunch.
Wow. She perfectly used the simple future tense and those sequencing words like then, later, and after that to create a really clear narrative of her day.
She did. And Ashlyn's plan was more concise. I will study. I wake up. I will eat stroganoff.
Still gets the point across.
Exactly. Both demonstrate effective communication, just highlighting how different communication styles can be equally valid.
And these really are the building blocks of real-life conversations. We did some quick role plays to bring them to life. Want to try a couple, Professor?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Okay. Do you like to eat pizza?
Yes. I like to eat pizza. Definitely.
What is your favorite pizza?
Ooh, tough one. My favorite pizza is probably four cheese. Classic.
Good choice. And how about this one? Who is your favorite singer?
My favorite singer is Beyonce. Has to be.
A true icon. Okay. Do you like horror movies?
No, I don't really like horror movies. I prefer comedy movies myself.
Perfect. See? These common questions and answers are the very foundation of everyday conversations. Practicing them builds not just vocabulary,
mm-hmm.
but that muscle memory for fluent exchanges. It starts to feel natural. #tagtag commercial break.
You're listening to ACAT FM, your daily dose of inspiration and English excellence. We'll be right back with more deep insights into Group T243's incredible journey. right after a quick word from Academia BSB. Short pause.
Welcome back to ACAT FM. Before the break, we were chatting about language usage, and it reminds me of a little joke. Why did the English teacher break up with the grammar book?
Oh, I'm curious. Why?
Because it had too many past perfect tense arguments. Get it? Tense arguments.
Okay, I get it. That's pretty good. It's all about finding the right timing in language and in life, right?
Exactly. Speaking of timing and finding the right words, before the break, we journeyed through vocabulary, understanding how words like sharp gain nuance.
Mm-hmm. And then pronunciation, focusing on critical sound distinctions.
Mm.
We also explored how these elements come together in practical language usage, building those basic conversations.
Right. Now, let's add some color to our communication with expressions. #4, expressions.
Expressions are truly the vibrant heart of English. They're what made your speech sound natural, engaging, and, well, truly native, moving beyond just literal translations.
Exactly. One key focus was on avoiding repetition, especially of the word and, which, you know, we can overuse sometimes.
We definitely can. So instead of constantly connecting ideas with and, you can use alternatives like later, then, or after that to create a much smoother flow.
Could you give an example?
Sure. So instead of I woke up and I had coffee and I went to work, you could say,
oh.
I woke up, later I had coffee, then I went to work. After that, I started my work day. See how much better that sounds?
Yeah, much smoother. It sequences the events clearly, too.
Right. And the class specifically worked with some fantastic idiomatic expressions that add incredible flavor. Back in the day is a perfect example.
How would you explain that one?
Well, this is how you refer to a time in the past, often with a hint of nostalgia. It's like saying in those times, or long ago in Portuguese, perhaps. Back in the day, we used to ride our bikes everywhere.
Ah, gotcha. Nostalgic. Another great one was full of energy.
Yes. This vividly describes someone lively and active. My toddler is always full of energy. It's far more evocative than just saying active. Paints a picture.
It really does. And one of my absolute favorites, a walk in the park.
Oh, I love that one too.
This expression means something is incredibly easy to do. Learning new words isn't always a walk in the park, but it's incredibly rewarding. It brings a visual, almost playful element to your description.
These expressions are what allow you, the listener, to connect more deeply in English, understanding the cultural nuances and making your conversations much richer and more authentic.
It's like adding spices to a dish. They transform it.
Exactly. #5, grammar.
All right, let's talk grammar. This is the skeleton of language, as you said earlier, absolutely crucial for clear communication.
Mm-hmm. It's not just for tests. It's what gives structure to your thoughts and ensures you're precisely understood.
Precisely. One of the core structures reviewed was can versus cannot. So can expresses ability.
Right. And cannot, or the contraction can't, expresses inability. It's fundamental for discussing what you're capable of doing or maybe what is possible or permitted.
So some examples from the class illustrating personal abilities were I can cook, I can ride rollerblades, I can run really fast, affirmative, clear, direct.
Yep. And for questions, can you run? Then the answers, no, I can't run. Simple enough.
No, can you eat pizza? Yes, I can eat pizza. We also practice with languages. Can you speak Japanese?
No, I can't speak Japanese. Yeah. This shows both the interrogative form, the question, and the negative form.
The versatility of can cannot is truly powerful. You use it all the time.
You really do. Think about its importance across different contexts. In the workplace, right? You might use it to discuss skills or permissions. Can you use this software or can we meet the deadline? In your private or daily life, it's for discussing personal abilities or limitations. I can drive now. Yay. Or I can't meet for coffee today.
Yeah.
And in an academic setting, you'd use it to express capabilities in research or discussions. We can analyze this data using new methods. Very useful.
We also covered to be able to. How does that fit in?
Ah, yes. This is a fantastic alternative to can, and sometimes it sounds a bit more formal, or it's used in tenses where can doesn't quite fit grammatically.
I like.
Well, examples like, I am able to ride a bike, or I am able to speak English. And we clarified its equivalence with can't by showing I am not able to dance means exactly the same as I can't dance.
Okay, so it's another tool in the toolbox.
Exactly. Understanding these core grammatical structures truly empowers you to express capabilities, permissions, and possibilities accurately in any situation. It gives you the precision to communicate exactly what you mean. #6, reading and comprehension.
Let's shift gears now to reading and comprehension. And this isn't just about decoding words on a page, is it?
Not at all. It's about understanding the meaning, the nuances, and really connecting with the text on a deeper level.
So the reading exercise for the students was based on a prompt called Your Routine, which encouraged them to reflect on their personal history and growth. Could you read that prompt for us?
Sure thing. It went like this. Our personal history helps us understand how much we have grown. Think back to who you were 10 years ago. What were your daily habits like? What could you do then that you may or may not be able to do now? Were you a different person in terms of your hobbies, interests, or physical abilities? Write a short text for your classmates describing what you were like a decade ago. Use the simple past tense, can, could, and to be able to explain what you were capable of doing and how your life was different. Try to include descriptive vocabulary, time expressions, and at least one idiomatic expression, like back in the day full of energy or a walk in the park. In 5 to 7 sentences, describe who you were 10 years ago. Talk about your personality, daily life, skills, and routines using the simple past and the verbs can, could to be able to. Share how you've changed.
Wow, that prompt is so rich because it asks students to engage with a deeply personal theme. Each paragraph's core idea revolves around self-reflection and personal transformation.
Mm-hmm. It directly asks students to analyze their past habits, skills, even their physical abilities from back then.
So how could they expand on that?
Well, an expansion here could have explored the specific emotions tied to these changes. Maybe nostalgia for a simpler time, perhaps pride in their growth, or even just a sense of wonder at how much life has unfolded since then.
Yeah, the feelings behind the facts.
Exactly. It could also prompt reflection on the broader impact of those changes on their present lives and maybe their future aspirations. Engaging with a text personally like this really deepens comprehension and aids vocabulary retention.
It makes the learning stick because it's relevant to their story.
Precisely. #check7, writing and composition.
Okay, writing. This is where all the learned elements, vocabulary, grammar, expressions really come together, isn't it?
It absolutely is. It's a fantastic opportunity for personal expression.
Yeah.
And importantly, for solidifying that new knowledge, making it your own.
So the objective was clear. Describe oneself 10 years ago, using the simple past, can, could, and to be able to, while also incorporating descriptive vocabulary, prime expressions, and at least one idiomatic expression.
Right. Let's look at Ashlyn's input and how the teacher insights guided her. Her original draft included sentences like, I was studying at the first year in the elementary school. I learned to ride a bike. I had a good relationship with my brother.
Okay, pretty straightforward.
Yeah. And the teacher's insights pinpointed verb tenses, reminding her of regular verbs like study becoming studied and irregular ones like have becoming had. Mm. Just those little nudges.
So how might Ashlyn integrate some of the vocabulary we discussed today into that?
Well, she could say something like, 10 years ago, I was just starting elementary school. It felt like my world was expanding so fast, and I was learning new things exactly every day. See? Using exactly there. I also learned to ride a bike, which felt like an especial skill at the time. My relationship with my brother was really good. We were always trying to tidy up our room before our parents arrived.
Ah, using tidy up too. That shows how new vocabulary can seamlessly weave into existing ideas, making sentences more descriptive and, well, more natural.
Mm-hmm. And the teacher's insights are invaluable because they provide that targeted feedback, guiding students towards more nuanced and accurate expression. It's not just about correcting errors.
No.
It's about teaching the principles of better writing. That's the goal.
And while we don't have all their specific inputs here, Ana Paula, Noyane, and Vanessa's sections would follow a similar pattern. You know, the student draft, teacher feedback, and then the opportunity for expansion.
Yeah, it truly highlights the iterative process of learning. It's all about drafting, getting constructive feedback, and then refining your command of the language.
Underscoring that writing is where all learned elements come together, and getting that feedback is truly invaluable for refining one's command of the language.
It's how you build confidence in expressing more complex ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. #tech8, listening.
Now let's talk about listening. And this isn't a passive skill, is it? It's active, dynamic, absolutely crucial for real-time communication. You have to actively engage.
That's so right. A typical listening exercise aims for comprehension, maybe identifying key details and understanding different accents and speeds. It trains your ear to pick up on nuances that aren't always obvious from just reading.
Okay, to demonstrate the importance of this active listening, I'm going to read a somewhat long and complex phrase. Listen closely, everyone. Try to catch the meaning in the flow. The comprehensive lexicon repertory from our last class indicates a significant vocabulary growth across all participating students, demonstrating their consistent engagement with the new material.
Ooh, that's a mouthful.
Yeah.
Excellent example. When listening, strategies like focusing on keywords or maybe trying to anticipate what comes next, or even just mentally summarizing what's been said can be incredibly helpful. These transform listening from simply hearing sounds into an active process of constructing meaning.
It's about training your brain to catch the signal through the noise, right?
Precisely. See how challenging that can be without active engagement. Strong listening skills are truly the foundation for participating in authentic conversations and genuinely understanding native speakers in all sorts of situations. Hashtag tag tag 9, watching.
All right, moving on to one of the most enjoyable ways to learn watching. There's just so much joy in learning through authentic media.
Oh, absolutely. It's immensely important for foreign language students to experience English through films, news, series, real-life events from native English-speaking countries.
Why is that so important?
Well, this exposure helps tremendously with accents, understanding cultural context, and picking up those idiomatic expressions we talk about, which are often best learned, you know, in context, seeing how people really use them.
That makes sense. This section typically involves activities that leverage that media. So the activity proposed here might involve, say, summarizing a short news clip.
Right, or identifying character emotions and intentions in a scene from a series, or even discussing cultural aspects presented in a documentary. It's about active consumption, not just passive viewing.
We really encourage you, our listener, to actively seek out English media. It's not just entertainment. It's a powerful tool for immersion and natural language acquisition.
Yeah, it allows you to pick up rhythm, intonation, and those cultural cues that textbooks simply can't provide. It truly brings the language to life. Hashtag tag tag 10, speaking training.
And finally, we arrive at the ultimate goal of language learning, speaking, the ability to express oneself freely, confidently, and, you know, naturally.
The purpose of this section is really to provide guided practice for fluency and confidence. It's where students bring everything they've learned, vocabulary, grammar, pronunciation together in dynamic spoken production.
Okay, I'll read a short text now, slowly and rhythmically, for you to hear the flow. Just listen. 10 years ago, I could not speak English, but now I can have conversations. It's not always a walk in the park, but I love the challenge. My goal is to be able to discuss complex topics effortlessly.
That's great. And I'll read this again, maybe with a slightly different intonation, just offering another model for your ear and showing how personal expression can be unique.
Yeah.
10 years ago, I could not speak English, but now I can have conversations. It's not always a walk in the park, but I love the challenge. My goal is to be able to discuss complex topics effortlessly.
Consistent speaking practice, even with guided texts like these, is absolutely crucial for developing that natural flow and overcoming any hesitation you might feel.
Mm-hmm. It's about building that muscle memory for spoken English. Just got to practice. Hashtag tag, hashtag wrapping up.
Wow, what an incredible deep dive into the class notes of group T243. It's just so inspiring to see their journey unfold.
It really is.
Looking at their class stats, this group, Anna, Paula, Noyan, Ashlyn, and Vanessa, are really showing fantastic progress.
They certainly are on the right path to achieving the CEFRL A2 level.
Yeah.
And what that means is they're able to handle basic everyday conversations and common situations with increasing confidence.
Yeah, it's huge.
It is. Their vocabulary growth stands out. 28 new words added to their comprehensive lexicon repertory, which now impressively totals 1,777 words.
Oh, 1,777.
I know. And their oral fluency and speech engagement span reached a solid 36 minutes. These are tangible signs of consistent effort and engagement. Really great work.
And speaking of tangible improvement, let's talk about pronunciation again. Their phonetic deviation ratio from past classes to the current class shows a remarkable negative 55% reduction, minus 55%.
Yeah.
What does this significant improvement actually mean for them in practice?
Well, it basically means they're making about half as many errors in how they form sounds compared to before. Imagine going from frequently being misunderstood to having your words land clearly and confidently.
Big difference.
Huge difference. That's the impact of this improvement.
Yeah.
It's a massive step towards sounding more natural and being understood effortlessly.
So to quickly recap the grammar we covered today, we delve deep into can and cannot for expressing ability and inability.
Mm-hmm. and we explored to be able to as that versatile alternative.
Hmm.
These core structures are fundamental for expressing capability and possibility, giving learners the power to communicate their potential.
Okay, and for those interested in diving even deeper into these grammatical structures?
Well, they can certainly be found in various comprehensive language acquisition resources. And for a unique connection to our discussion today, especially around language usage and those movie synopses,
yeah,
we referenced the film available online. You can find info on IMDb, for example.
Yeah.
This just highlights how real-world media seamlessly connects with and enriches language learning, showing you how these concepts come alive in authentic contexts.
That's a great tip. So, Professor Mariano, what's next on our deep dive journey for the T243 group? What thrilling linguistic adventures await them? Give us a cliffhanger.
Okay. Next time, we'll be exploring how to describe actions happening right now, like in this very moment, and also how to talk about plans with even more certainty, using structures that will revolutionize their ability to talk about the present and future with real precision.
Ooh, sounds exciting.
Yeah.
Get ready to expand your descriptive power, everyone.
Definitely. Hashtag tag tags outro.
So as we wrap up today's deep dive, I want you, our listener, to consider this. How might focusing on just one or two small areas of improvement each week, much like what we reviewed today, change your own language learning journey?
Mm-hmm.
Consistent segmented learning isn't just about memorizing facts. It's about building confidence and fluency brick by brick, just like a master builder constructing something amazing.
That's beautifully put. It's a journey of transformation, isn't it? Much like a beautiful song. It makes me think of David Bowie's classic Changes from his 1971 album, Hunky Dory.
Ah, Bowie. Great one.
Yeah, just like Bowie sang Changes.
Yeah.
Learning the language is all about embracing that journey and transformation, finding new ways to express who you are and who you're becoming.
I love that connection.
It's about evolving your voice, word by word, just as we evolve through life's changes.
And that, my friends, brings us right back to the core of what we do here at Academia BSB, because remember,
it's not only about the language, it's all about communication.
Join us next time on ACAD FM, your shortcut to being well-informed. Have a wonderful day, everyone.